This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, my friends. Welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, of course, your host, Andy Goldstein. Don't forget, of course, to check me out driving at 4 p.m. today, alongside a very happy and relieved Darren Bent. Anyway, we begin today's podcasting thing with, of course, the fallout from a sensational day of Premier League action. And Mikel Arteta's Arsenal remain top of the Premier League after beating Spurs in that North London derby. And City, of course, beat Nottingham Forest. Here's all the fallout and reaction on TalkSport.
And there is the full-time whistle. It's a crucial North London derby victory for Arsenal. Their first back-to-back wins on Tottenham soil since George Graham was manager back in the late 1980s. There are high fives and hugs all round from the team in red and white. But my word, in the end, were they made to fight for it. Arsenal extend their lead over City at the top of the Premier League for a couple of hours at least, and they've come through. Surely their stiffest test of the season remaining. They've beaten their arch rivals by 3-2.
Happiness, I would describe with happiness. You're going to suffer. You come here, it's an unbelievable stadium, great atmosphere, a great team. You're going to suffer. You want to win here, be ready to suffer. When you want big things, you have to be able to navigate through these emotions and this disappointment sometimes throughout the game. But at the end, the team find a way to win it and showed a lot of courage, especially the players that were involved in certain mistakes to do what they've done.
Mikel, you've talked about how difficult it is to come here. You're the first Arsenal manager to win back-to-back games at Tottenham since George Graham in the 1980s. Does that give you a personal sense of pride?
Yes, for sure. And thank you so much for everybody at the club for giving me the chance to do that, for all the staff, because the contribution is huge. And for sure, the players, because at the end, it's the ones that win the games for you.
Does this also feel like a significant hurdle that you've overcome, bearing in mind the rivalry and how much Tottenham would have wanted to stop your title charge?
For me, it's as well. When you have, we are so lucky to have the possibility to make people happy. And I know what it means to all our supporters. So I'm sure they're going to enjoy the evening and we can contribute a bit of that. That's great.
It looked like you had got an equaliser with the goal from Van de Ven. Have you had a chance to look closely at the VAR decision? Are you okay with that?
It's no point, mate. I've said all year, I don't think games get officiated at the stadiums anymore. It's why I don't celebrate goals. I wait for somebody down the road to tell me what the outcomes are. And unfortunately, that's the way football's gone. So you just got to accept whatever decision somebody miles away from you makes.
It was a strange first half because actually you were probably the better team and somehow you found yourself 3-0 down. It's difficult to take as a manager, I'd imagine.
No, not really, because it is explainable. Because, like I said, it's about the details. And Arsenal are very, very good. They're a good side now. They're focusing on those details and we're not there yet. We're still, you know, you need to, if you want to get from where we are to where we want to be, it's going to be about the details. It's going to be about the focus and every moment to understand that you can't give opportunities to opposition, quality opposition. And, yeah, look, our football in general was good, but, you know, we let ourselves down by not being focused on the details.
TalkSport Daily.
Let's go over to Lee, who's an Arsenal fan. He was at the game today. Good evening, Lee.
Hello, lads. How you doing? To be fair, we was just going 30 minutes ago. You're thinking 3-0. We'll get out to the end. And mistakes like that can cost you, you know. And we was, we was lucky to get away with 3-2. But, yeah, the point I made to your lad who answered the phone, that style of football now playing out from the back, it's risk to rewards. And we've scored so many goals this year and playing out from the back, inviting the pressure on, playing through the lines. Now, he got caught between two minds. And listen, it just happens. But and then after that, you know, I thought he was immense. Tottenham are throwing balls in the box. He probably dealt with three or four really challenging balls. And
yeah, he happens to be very, very good on crosses, doesn't he? You know, he comes out and claims into areas that other goalies don't really want to go into. You're right, he took a lot of pressure off the team after that.
Yeah, it just takes the pressure off the back four, you know. Now we move into the last three games open, and City can drop some points somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a title running, it can happen, trust me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Lee. Don't forget 03717223344 is the number to call. Don't forget your text on 81089 as well. Like Neil the Villa fan, who's messaged us as well. Guys, move on. This is boring now. Villa beat Arsenal. Mate, listen, Neil, you're not the producer of the show today, so just settle. We're going to get to everyone. We've got a long show. Imagine Parter here Sunday night for the therapy. Let's go to Julian. He's a Spurs fan. He was at the game as well. How are we, Julian?
Hello, chaps. Yeah, very well. How are you?
Oh, man, I don't know if it took you as long as me to get out of the stadium today. I thought I was going to miss my show. It took forever.
Do you know what? It's one of those ones where you stay right to the end, isn't it? Because obviously, I think, you know, we got pretty close to getting that third one. I mean, to be honest with you, look, do you know what it is, guys? I'm a bit frustrated about the whole thing, really, because you know, number one, that's one of the two games that you want to win in the season, isn't it? The North London Derby, but. I just think that, you know, like, we started the game really brightly, as you probably know. And I think, you know, I think, Alan, you were saying earlier on in the show about sort of feeling the mood in the stadium, and certainly the mood in the stadium in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, because we're going to give them a proper game. And
yeah.
I just feel that, you know, you like refereeing, you know, that's, you know, the VAR decision against Van der Ven, I'm not sure, you know, I looked at it really quickly on the train on the way home. It looked very tight to me.
It was very tight.
You know. And
could have went either way.
Hair's breadth. It really was. Yeah. Yeah.
You look at that and you think, you know, this is a huge game for both clubs. One is you know, fighting for the title, the other one's fighting for Champions League. It's both worth a lot of money. It's, you know, forget to put the money to one side, it's the bragging rights as well. But, you know, and then I think our reaction to that, I was in the north stand behind the goal. It looked like we were kind of, just after that you had a penalty appeal against, you know, well, not a penalty appeal, but Kulusevski goes down, then Maddison goes down. Players are looking at referee, Arsenal getting on back on with the game, you know, and it's like, ball, you know, shortly after that, ball goes over the top to Saka, who you put him in that situation, and there's only been, you know, one result, which obviously is what happened. He scored the goal. But I don't agree, you know, listening to the show on the way home, there's quite a lot of negativity angle towards Postecoglou. I think, that, guys, I was on this show with you two not long ago, and I forget which game it was, sorry, but it was a few weeks ago, one of our last home games, and I think we just need to put it into context as to where we are. Forget North London Derby today.
Like, Julian, you bang on.
We're still fighting.
Julian, do you know what I said to someone? I said it to my son after the game. I said a couple of seasons ago on a Wednesday evening, we rolled Arsenal 3-0 to take the top four spot. And that was with Conte, and, you know, we ended up getting to the Champions League that season. Now, this is an Arsenal team 5 years into a process with Arteta, who's getting closer and closer to winning the league, and buying players like Havertz and Declan Rice. You know, as a Spurs fan, you can doff the cap to Arsenal. They've been brilliant in this calendar season, for sure, since they've come back from Dubai. At the end of the day, like you say, we just got to look at it and go, this is Big Ange, it's a building, they're building blocks, but this is, Julian, why I've asked Pards. Can you keep moving forward without this plan B?
TalkSport Daily.
Now, Pep's Man City is still second with a game in hand after they beat Forest. Q TalkSport's Jeff Peters.
There is the full-time whistle. It has finished. Forest 0, Manchester City 2. And Forest left brewing some sloppy finishing. They remain a point outside the relegation zone. City ahead just after the half hour. De Bruyne's corner from the left, headed in at the near post by Josko Gvardiol, the Croatian defender, getting his third goal in 5 games. Forest were down to 10 as Williams was off having treatment. They missed chances to level before the break. Chris Wood miscued an effort with a goal at his mercy, and Murillo's instinctive poke from close range grazed the top of the bar. Wood fluffed another soon after the restart. The arrival of Erling Haaland gave City a massive lift, and 10 minutes after coming on, he collected De Bruyne's pass, skipped by Murillo, and slotted into the far corner, his 32nd goal of the season. They saw it home comfortably after that. Full-time, Forest 0, Man City 2.
Pard's thoughts in a moment, but first let's hear from City boss Pep Guardiola, who has hit back at people criticising his stance on players' rest.
People who complain about your territory, they are sitting in the computer, you know, and texting, and have to go home with a wife and the kids and stay there. So to judge if we are tired or not tired, they have to be here. Otherwise, if they're not here, the best is shout the mouth. It's much, much better, because
is every season is more and more so demanding, but of course we are the challenge. I would love to be in semi-final Champions League, I'll be honest. I would like to retire and be in there. But the reality is here, so it's never complain the schedule. Always you know the reason why. So when you play, always was just for the semi-final Champions League. The FA Cup, like it was, still have the same opinion. But for the rest, we have lived this situation for 4, 5, 6 years. So play every 3 days for many, many months. So it's not a surprise for me. So they should respect the opinions that gives, you know exactly what happened. And the other ones, they have to be in silence. But especially for the former players, they were in that position. Or maybe not, because they don't play in open competitions, maybe they don't know it. They should be more calm. But they can still sit in the sofa and the computer, and I'm pretty sure they are not tired.
That was the Manchester City boss, Pep Guardiola, having a go at everyone for sitting on their computers and texting and moaning. He's right, though. There is a physical toll that comes with playing at the highest level, the way that his teams do. You know, you could see after the Real Madrid game that they were absolutely shattered, and since then they've had two games.
Yeah, and there's not only that, you have the pressure of international football. So these guys are all going to finish the season, probably have a game, showbiz game somewhere in America or something, then end up playing all through the European Championships, getting a 2-week holiday, back to pre-season training where they've obviously got to put the, you know, you've got to start again. So you have to give them 2 weeks. I used to give like 2-3 weeks off pre-season some players because their schedule was so demanding. It's ridiculous what we're putting on players. So Pep has a massive point, not just for Manchester City, by the way. All those teams, Liverpool, Arsenal, all those who are playing in Europe particularly, have got a hell of a schedule. Everybody else in the league, in terms of what the competitions we run, it's still tight, but you probably just get enough rest in. But if when you're in that European campaigns, flying in, flying out, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, whatever it is, it's a terrible schedule. And obviously Man City are the only team probably with 22, 23 world-class players that can just about cope. And even they're struggling. So that's the level we're talking about. Burnout and people like De Bruyne, injury prone in terms of some losing players. It's going to happen because of the fatigue.
Definitely in Man City's favour, it's not in their favour because they probably would have wanted to win it, but not having a Champions League semi-final to worry about and focusing on the fixtures they've got, which is Wolves at home, Fulham away, Tottenham away and West Ham at home.
Yeah, I don't think they're really moaning about, you know, I think what he's moaning about is all this, you know, we moaning about FA Cup replays, the League Cup, etc, etc. So, you know, it's just the schedule, it's just, you know, it's just too much for those big clubs. And I agree with him, even though I've not actually managed a club other than Newcastle, probably at that level. Yeah. So, you know, it is a concern. But it's not just the Premier League, it's the Bundesliga, all the leagues.
That's Bundesliga.
Yeah, remember we've got the FIFA World Club Championship coming in as well. They want to earn as much money as UEFA are earning out of the Champions League. So you got all that to come.
TalkSport Daily.
Here's the Forest gaffer, Nuno Espirito Santo.
Can I just ask you about what the positivity from the quality of the performance today can do for you in the remaining three matches of this season?
It's huge that we keep this way, that we this attitude of wanting to win every duel, every ball. They run a lot, our players run a lot, so this is the more positive. The way we play, the way we produce the chances, for sure the talent is going to be there to finish up. But more important is the attitude of the players, realizing the situation that we are and what we have to do to deal in the best way.
Now here's the fallout from the other game in the Premier League, where Bournemouth smashed the Derby's Brighton at the Vitality.
Bournemouth 3, Brighton 0. Marcus Senesi in the first half, and second half goals from Unis Enal and then Justin Kluivert, earning Bournemouth another win here. They're unbeaten here now in half a dozen. For Brighton, just 3 wins in 15, and they look to all intents and purposes like they checked out for the season in this one. Yes, and Cissé had a couple of good efforts on the Bournemouth goal in the second half when he came on, but otherwise they weren't really a force in the game.
I was asking, since you arrived, it's pretty much been all success apart from the last couple of months. Is this a difficult moment for you?
Yes, what do you think? Yes, it's a difficult moment for me as well, our players. I think we are spending a tough
period. I didn't listen only one question about the injuries players, but I don't know, you can forget 8-9 players, but if you forget the question about our injuries players, you have to remember we are not Real Madrid, and we can suffer with 8-10 injuries players. And I'm speaking about injuries players because you forgot the question about injuries players.
No.
Otherwise, I would say nothing.
Brian's, I don't know what's happened to them. I mean, their away form is absolutely shocking. They've lost 17 of 20 games I've got here.
Really?
Away games, that's like incredible. You know, the result today was almost, that was almost a bank. I'm not a betting man in terms of, looking at trying to get a win on in that world, but if I was to predict a result, I would say, well, we're going to win that.
Yeah.
And they did, comfortably.
TalkSport Daily.
Liverpool effectively kissed goodbye the chances of winning the Premier League after drawing at West Ham at the weekend. The gaffer Jurgen Klopp appeared to clash with Mo Salah, and the Egyptian said after the match that if he speaks, and I quote, there will be fire. On the Weekend Breakfast Show, Tony Cascarino questioned Salah's post-match comments.
I know you've got to get off just quickly about what happened on the touchline with Salah. Is everything OK between the two of you?
Yeah. We spoke about that in the dressing room all the time.
Mo Salah has been brilliant for Liverpool, and he has helped contribute. He's contributed with the team to win things, OK? With that, when he's poor, and he takes all the praise of when he's been brilliant, when if he's poor and the manager decides to leave you out, you know, I've been left out times in my career. I haven't liked it. But it's a manager's decision. I didn't go after the manager. I might not agree with some of the stuff he does, and I'll speak privately in his office on a Monday morning. I've had loads of meetings with managers talking about, and sometimes I went into a manager with Liam Brady and actually said to him, you know, I'm not playing well enough, you know, and we chatted, and Liam was brilliant with me. I said to him, I'm not playing well enough. I don't deserve to be in the team at the moment. At Celtic, you know? And he said, well, that's great. Liam said to me, that's great. My record buy is telling me he's not good enough. And I went, Liam, I ain't. I'm not in the condition. Well, yeah, and I knew I wasn't playing. I knew I wasn't in a very good place at the time. I had a few issues off the field as well. But
so you're telling him for the benefit of the team, really?
Yeah, for the team. And I wasn't. I didn't deserve to be in the team.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. I've been angry as well when I felt I had been deserved to be in a team. But you go to the manager in his office. You don't do it on the sideline and, you know, make out it's a big... and then say to a journalist, you know, it'll be fire if I speak. Well, so what's so bad that you're going to speak fire? What are you going to say? What has he done to you? Has he said something really terrible to you in front of the lads? Has he undermined you in front of the group? I doubt it very much. He's basically, in my opinion, I might be wrong, I don't know, he's dropped him.
Yeah.
That's what he's done. That's his job, though, Klopp. If he thinks you're not playing well enough and you shouldn't be in my team, you get dropped by the manager. That's part of it. That's his responsibility.
Now, here's Henry Winter on the Sunday edition, hitting back at Simon Jordan for his comments on journalists and Manchester United.
Watch the media narrative around Todd Boehly and the fact he's an idiot American, doesn't know what he's doing, and he'll carry that with him for some time. So narratives get created by newspapers. So I understand why you go, I tell you what, if that's the way you want to play this game, if you want to paraphrase words and stick embarrassing in front of me and get me to bite down on the word embarrassing so you can create headlines off it, then you're not a journalist that I particularly want to talk to. So it reminds the press that they don't have a God-given right. If the press had their way, they'd pick the England team, they'd pick the England manager, they'd tell you what everything's wrong with society without actually providing any solutions. So I make him right, but I try and put myself in that position and think to myself, would I let some saucy sod journalist try and create a situation with me where I couldn't deal with him? And gave him that level of power that he felt that he was being excluded because it was that important. But that's me, and not a huge PR mechanism like Manchester United.
I was listening to Simon Jordan the other day. He thinks it's fair enough, and it puts journalists in their place. Because Simon, of course, isn't part of the media. He stands above all that and thinks we get what we deserve. He can criticise Man United's manager, but apparently journalists...
You see, don't. I much prefer a manager, if he's got an issue with you, just calling you out there and then, whether it's in the cameras, whether it's in a corridor before, whether it's in a phone call. He said what you wrote was absolute nonsense. If he's falling out with the Manchester Evening News, which you would imagine a lot of Manchester, you don't fall out with the local paper. You know, we saw that in Haaland. It was a mistake. Doing
I think
it
that
in
was
Manchester,
to do with a tweet by Sam Lucas during the FA Cup, which said he's got to go, I think it said.
Well, if that's the opinion of someone who covers them day in, day out, then you know, that's his opinion. Then go and have a coffee with him, or just sort of call him out in a press conference. Do it in the broadcast bit, because then it's a bit livelier.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
TalkSport Daily.
The latest episode of The Debrief with Adam Brazil and Gabby Aponjoy is available to download now and on the TalkSport app, wherever you get your podcast from. This week, Big Al gives Gabby some more advice on settling down.
You do find some relationships that, like, couples get bored though, well, in marriages, and they end up getting divorced.
Yeah, but we all get bored with certain things. You fight your way through it.
Fight.
You fight your way through.
How can you fight boredom?
You can do.
What?
You make an effort.
In what way?
You wonder why you're having a fallout. You wonder why you're having an argument, and you put it right.
So you fight for the marriage.
Yes.
I like
yes.
that. Yeah.
I've nearly left about 8 times, but I think no, stay.
Well, that's it, my friends, for another Andy Austin TalkSport Daily podcast. Thanks for listening on the app or wherever you get your podcast from. I'm back today on Drive alongside Benty. There will, of course, be another one of these. Andy Austin talks for Daily Podcast out first in the morning, so do what you got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a good day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
This has been TalkSport Daily.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flimsy stains slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.